in April.
Good morning, everyone. My name is April, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, April.
I'm going to pass around some photos showing me at various stages of my life and recovery. Such a beautiful day today after the rain, and I come from Berkeley, so it was a lovely drive over the bridge and through the woods. So I'm just a little bit nervous, just want to own up to that. Anyway, so I came into OA 18 years ago, and before that, I had a long history of being overweight, going on a diet, losing weight, getting it back, going on a diet, losing weight, going off the diet, gaining more back. So that's the kind of compulsive overeater I am. I grew up in a family where food was not overly abundant, but my mother did bake cookies occasionally, or a pie, or, you know, of course, a birthday cake. But we often didn't have anything like that, and we were on a pretty limited budget, as it were. I remember my mother moaning and groaning that we were going to end up in the poorhouse. So that's something that dates me. Some of you may relate to. My father was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. His brother was an alcoholic. And I'm sure there are many other alcoholics before them in my family. I say that only because I believe that compulsive overeating is physical disability. It's a disease just like alcoholism, and many of us who have relatives who are alcoholics have become compulsive overeaters. All of my siblings and I suffer from this disease. Neither of my parents had this disease. They were thin and athletic, and they had big appetites. Only in hindsight and many years of being on this earth did I think, oh, you know, my parents had a cigarette and a cup of coffee and maybe a cup of toast for breakfast, and they may not have had lunch. So by the time they got home for dinner, it was a big portion. And while our protein servings may have been meager, our plates were not meager in terms of what was put on them, and we were expected to eat every single last bite of it because, Lord knows, there were children starving in China. And I have to say, and my mother will admit this, she wasn't the best cook, and what do you do with canned vegetables and white potatoes anyway? So I have gotten into fights with my father, who is a strict authoritarian, over whether or not I was going to finish that meal or not. And I lost that battle after being forced to eat my dinner the next morning for breakfast, icy cold. So I learned to clean my plate no matter what. And then, lo and behold, I started cleaning the pots and pans and whatever remnants there were. There were six of us in the family, never had a leftovers. That was not a concept. Fast forward to my own adulthood and my own eating habits, I will admit that leftovers still was not a concept, even if I was cooking enough for six and there were only two mouths to feed. And I looked forward to being alone at home with the leftovers and just eating those. And when those were done, going out to the grocery store and getting a few donuts and pie and whatever, just to kind of you know, top things off, so to speak. And I really indulged in that behavior off and on. I was put on my first diet when I was 15, and my family belonged to Kaiser way back then. I have an early number. and so a dietitian, thank you, a dietitian gave me my first food plan, told me to get a food scale, and there I, you know, followed along and lost the weight, and everyone was happy, and then there wasn't any instructions on what to do next, so I began my my long practice of eating more than I needed to, and then going on a diet, and then gaining it back again with more. I wasn't a great exerciser. I had asthma, but it wasn't really diagnosed until I was in my 40s. And so if I know many people who ate a lot, but they burned it off. I didn't have that option because I just wasn't athletic and didn't have the wind to do anything very fast. So anyway, during my adulthood, I got married reluctantly. I don't know what drove me to enter this marriage, but I knew it was ill-fated from the beginning. But it wasn't until 15 years later did I seek any relief from the pain I was suffering, and that was because the person I married was by then addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so the program that I went to gave me some relief. It was 12 steps, but I got to the second step and I flunked. Could not come up with a concept of a power greater than myself that some of you call God. For the life of me, I was an atheist. I became an atheist on purpose, consciously, as an adult, because I had been raised in a church. The concept of God in that church was not necessarily mean and horrifying, but it was an intellectual decision on my part that God could not exist because of the state of the world. So I left that 12-step program, and it was then, you know, about 5 years later that my compulsive overeating and other behaviors of mine were causing me a lot of suffering. And the emotional suffering that I was experiencing drove me to eat even more. And I got to the point where I could not stop gaining weight. I had been maintaining a certain weight, and then it just went, it wasn't a healthy weight, but at least it was a steady weight. Then I started gaining and gaining, and I didn't know why I was getting, you know, I'd have some fish and rice and a salad. I don't know why I, you know, that was my dinner. Now, looking back on it, the proportions may not have been, you know, the healthiest. And Lord knows, I worked in an office where there was often 36 freshly baked donuts on Friday and a box of chocolates on Tuesday and homemade bread on Wednesday. And so I was just like going after the food, and I became very discouraged about that, about the extra weight that was just going beyond the weight I'd been before, and I didn't want to go on a diet. I was afraid because of my history. It's like, well, yes, I could lose more weight And then I'm going to gain what I'd lost, and then I'm going to be over 200 pounds, and I wouldn't be able to live with myself. And I knew that if I got to 200, then I wouldn't care anymore, and then I'd get to 300. And since I'd had a history of suicidal tendencies in my past due to depression, God knows I probably would I'd be shooting myself. So that was the future I was looking at. If the food didn't kill me, my depression over it would. Thank you. So I, at that point, was friends with an alcoholic who was in and out of AA. And, I should say also that about 5 years earlier, when I had tried that other 12-step program, I was in therapy, and I was joking with my therapist at the time. And I said, so is there a 12-step program for fat people? And he said, well, yes, there is. Overeaters Anonymous. And I just said, ha, that's so how funny. And, you know. but, you know, I believe that there was a higher power working in my interest. Almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago, who helped me come to terms with the fact that I was powerless over the food, that I was unable to manage my life. My life was really going in a tailspin in my profession and personal life at that point. And that higher power brought me to my very first Overeaters Anonymous meeting. So it was the Saturday after Christmas and before New Year's that I went to the meeting. And afterwards, people came up to me to welcome me, which was really kind of like cool, but a little overwhelming, because one enthusiastic member who was tall and thin and gorgeous said, oh, you can have your very first abstinent New Year's. But I'd already had reservations for dinner at a 4-star restaurant in San Francisco, and there was no way I was going to be abstinent, whatever the heck that meant. So lo and behold, the following Saturday after New Year's, I did show up. And a very kind lady talked to me, and I learned about other meetings and newcomer meetings, and she gave me a copy of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And unlike so many other newcomers, I was, I was willing to call this lady and ask her questions about the program, and to also share my hesitations. And a big hesitation I had at that point was, well, there was the God thing, but then there was the person I was married to who was really against God and told me, oh, if you start going to a 12-step program, we're going to end up divorced, because you're going to end up, you know, believing in God, and then that'll be the end of us. So I said, well, I'm only going to do it for 30 days and just see how it goes, you know, because truthfully, my doctor was telling me, you know, I was having health problems and you ought to lose some weight and things would go better for you. And I asked her what she recommended, and she said, Weight Watchers. She said, they teach you how to eat. And that's when I really had to come to terms with the disease I was suffering from, because I knew how to eat. I'd been put on that diet, you know, so many years earlier. It was not a question of how to eat or what to eat. It was a question of my emotional dependency on food and my inability to separate my feeling whole and safe from the food. If I didn't have it, I was just this, you know, lost in the world, and it was my security blanket. I remember being at work and trying really hard had been on a diet, you know, a few years earlier, and it was like, after you lose your weight, you can reintroduce dessert. You can have one dessert, a week. Yeah. And, you know, so I'd buy my dessert and I, you know, at lunchtime, and I put it in my cabinet and at work, like, I'll save it for snack, you know. I couldn't concentrate on my work. There's a piece of chocolate cake there. Oh, my goodness. Or, you know, again, you know, the donuts are out there. And so if it wasn't crumbs and sugar getting all over the keyboard or my mind being able to stay on my work, food was just making my life unmanageable. So I came to OA, and this same kind lady offered to be my temporary sponsor. I had gone to, like, been going to 3 meetings a week and determined that, you know, I was going to do this. And so I started, you know, thank you very much. I started eating more sensibly. And I raised my hand after 2 weeks, and I said, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm doing it alone, and I can't do it alone. And someone stepped forward. And from there on, I can say that not only have I lost and maintained 50-pound weight loss over, you know, for all these years, but, you know, the steps have transformed my life. I'm no longer married to that person, but I didn't leave before doing a 9th step with them. I left with love. I did not leave out of hatred. It was not a question of the other person being a bad person and I'm the victim. I've been able to let go of fear of economic insecurity. And I do service because I feel called to do service in this program. This program not only saved my life, but it gave me a life worth living. And if you're new, just keep coming back. Keep your ears open. Listen to lots of stories. And I hope that you find here what I have found here. Thank you for letting me share.